Welcome to the podcast of the First Presbyterian Church of Englewood, a community committed to live boldly, share boundlessly, grow community, and build God's world. Please visit us in person or at englewoodpres.org.
Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I'm really going to date myself if I mention the Huntley-Brinkley report. Okay, how many of you remember Huntley-Brinkley? How many of you were Cronkite people? Okay, for news. So Huntley-Brinkley was actually the newscast that my family watched when I was a kid, and other people I know watched Walter Cronkite, who was certainly one of the greats. And then if you recall what happened somewhere, I think it was in the 1970s, we developed something called happy news. Okay, do you remember that? They decided people were complaining that there was just too much sad stuff. And so they were tired of hearing about all the sad stuff in the news. And the format switched from having a wise newsreader read the news, give you the reports. And they started this habit that exists to this day of banter. And so we started to see the happy news format and the anchors, you know, bantering with each other. And they tried to do cheerier stories because people didn't want to be confronted with the bad news of the world, even though it was real. Okay? And so they just wanted to ignore it. They wanted it to go away. And our passage today hints at a time like this. What happens in our passage is that Jesus is talking about the eventual coming of his return, and then he refers to folks in the days of Noah. So we all remember the Noah story, okay, and suddenly the flood comes and people didn't know what was happening. And he just says, look, in those days they were just eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were just going about their lives. They were going about their lives and they knew nothing until the flood. Now, this is a very interesting analogy for Jesus to draw, because when you read the Noah story, which we all read as a kid, right? When you go back to the Noah story and you hear the reason why God flooded the earth. All right. God flooded the earth because of pervasive evil, right? Remember, the earth was just full of wickedness. And so God destroys the earth except for Noah and his family. Now, you don't actually get that sense of the wickedness in this telling of it. The people were just eating and drinking. They were just having marriages and giving their children away in marriage, right? And you have to ask yourself the question, is that a form of wickedness to be oblivious to wickedness in the world? That maybe the pervasiveness of the wickedness in the world was because the people were simply choosing to go about their lives and ignore everything in the world that was wicked, that was a problem, that needed to be dealt with. And this is something that we have in our world today, okay? We have so many problems in the world. We have poverty. We have racism. We have classism. We have homophobia. We have all of these issues that confront us in the world. And it's easy for people to choose to be oblivious. It's particularly easy for people to choose to be oblivious if you are not personally afflicted by it. When we talk about the concept of privilege, this is what we mean. For example, if everyone, you know, if you've got a home, you have the privilege to choose to be worried about homelessness or not. All right? So if you have a home to go to, great. We hope that you're concerned about homelessness. But if you decide you're not going to worry about homelessness, well, you don't really have to. You have a home. All right. If you are not poor, the problems of poverty may bother you. You may think about them, but you can decide how much you're going to think about them and how much you're going to worry about it because you're not poor. For persons of color and racism, and the same thing. For LGBT persons and homophobia, it's the same thing. If you are not in the affected group, then you have the luxury of deciding whether or not to be concerned. You can turn it off. You can walk away. And that's a tremendous luxury to have. And it's something that I think Jesus is warning us against. That when Jesus returns, Jesus is expecting us to be people who will have worked for justice in the world. Jesus is expecting us to be people who have cared about the problems of others. That it wasn't just about whether we were able to go on and eat and drink and have our lives the way they were. It's a question of whether or not we cared about the plight of others. And so we're being called in this story of the potential suddenness of the return of Christ to continually be on the watch, to not be those oblivious people, to be the people who are wondering, if Jesus returned at this moment, would I be someone who had been actively looking at the problems of the world, willing to see them, not trying to hide behind a happy news version of life that isn't real, but instead able to see what's out there and see where Christ is calling us to be forces of healing in the world. Now, some of you could be thinking, well, wait a second, is that a little bit of a stretch here from what we read in the lesson? You know, after all, Jesus just talked about Noah, and they were just, you know, in the days of Noah, they were giving and drinking. Are you taking this too far in terms of reading into the passage? This is now the second half of the sermon. It's a different topic. When the lectionary passage, what I read to you today is the lesson, what's in your bulletin, is the passage that is prescribed for the day in what's called the Revised Common Lectionary. This is something that we generally follow. We don't have to. We're not obligated to. But most churches in the mainline tradition do. So if you were in a Roman Catholic church today, for example, you would have this gospel lesson. If you were in a Methodist church today, you probably have this lesson. If you're in a Lutheran church, you probably have this lesson. Okay? The lesson prescribed verses 36 through 44. And I want to show you what actually comes next, the continuation of the story. So here we are, so I left the verse numbers in. So here we are at the end of the lesson, verse 44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Great. Exclamation point. It's about Jesus coming back and you being ready at any time, right? Okay, that's the story. Except Jesus goes on to explain what he's just been talking about. He says, who then is the faithful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? In other words, we are all servants of God, and Jesus has put people in charge. Right? We are in charge of making sure that other servants, our fellow servants, are taken care of. Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that wicked slave says to himself, my master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know. He will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. This puts a little different spin on what you saw before in the lesson, right? Now Jesus has gotten very explicit about what it is that he does expect you to be doing when he shows up, what he wants you to be in the process of, that as he has left us, the servants of Christ, in the position of having the responsibility to care for other people, the other servants. We are all slaves of God. We are all servants. It's not a word we like, but we all serve God. We are charged with the task of caring for one another, and you can either be caught in the act of doing that or not. But the important thing is to remember that when somebody throws a scripture verse at you or even a short passage at you, do not accept that the words of what you were thrown, even though they are present in scripture, mean exactly what they mean before you read the larger context. Before you read the rest of the story, before you understand what argument was being made at the point where those words were, the verse out of context can be completely misleading. It can send you down the wrong path to stop your reading at boundaries that weren't intended to be there when the story was told. If I tell you the story of the tortoise and the hare and stop, you all want to be the rabbit, all right? Because you didn't get the rest of the story. It's completely misleading. So I was thinking about a little analogy. All right, I'm Asian, so I was just thinking about these things. Chopsticks, okay? What do you do with one? Okay? You can't, like, right, it can stir coffee. It's a skewer. It can be kind of a blunt weapon, which is what isolated verses of scripture are often used as, is a weapon. Okay? It's completely useless for feeding. It needs its partner. It needs context. It needs a situation in which it can work together with the context of the lesson, the context of the passage, and then together you can be fed. If people are giving you verses and passages out of context, think of it is the lone chopstick. It will not feed you. It can hurt someone. You need to know the rest of it in order to understand. This is why your own personal devotions need to involve scripture at a deeper level than just the snippets we give you. In fact, our mainline tradition of giving you the verses in snippets was born of a time when we expected the people to have sufficient biblical literacy that they would understand if the preacher was taking it out of context. That they would know the rest of the story so that when we cited a verse, we weren't just citing a verse, we were citing the verse and everything around it. And we thought you would know. And now that we are in an age where people don't know the rest of it, where they don't know everything that goes around it, scripture becomes dangerous, becomes something that's being used to poke people's eyes out because it's not being read in the context of what it was meant to do. So friends, understand this passage in its fullest context. Always verify that verses in isolation actually represent what the Bible says before you say, this is what the Bible says. Okay? Understand it in its entirety. And then remember that it is our job to be the people who give the other people of God their allowance of food. That we are to be the ones who work for fairness, who work for inclusion, who work for justice in the world, okay? Because we do not know when the Son of Man is coming. We must be ready for the return of Christ. And being ready for the return of Jesus means working for justice now. This is our call, to go out into the world, especially in this season where we talk about joy and hope and peace and love, to really live into that as our values in the world. Okay. And go out and live as if Christ is coming. Live knowing Christ is watching. care for the other servants. So that is what Jesus catches you doing when he returns. Amen.